Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Welcome back in. It is hour number two of the Lombardi Line, presented as always by BetMGM. I'm Ben Wilson from our Circa Sportsbook Studios in downtown Las Vegas, in for Patrick Maher, rest of the week and weekend. Michael Lombardi in New Jersey on the East Coast. And if it's Friday, we had slow jamming earlier in the day on a numbers game, and now he's here. Vinny Maliulo, oddsmaker over at the South Point. Great to see you, Vinny. How are you? Long time no see.
Good to see you, Ben. Michael, always a pleasure, and look forward to our Friday spots, guys.
Of course. No, it would not be a Friday without Vinny in the house. Look, it's funny how Michael and I, we've had no shortage of NFL topics to discuss all week, and it's amazing when you look at the calendar and you realize you're in late February, and this, from the bookmaking perspective, I'm sure for you it's not like anymore there's this no attention paid to NFL even for a stretch. I mean, there's still been a lot of volatility and activity going on in the futures markets here right now, Vinny, I'm sure.
Yeah, great point, Ben. And, you know, what's interesting is this, and my colleagues and I, we were reminiscing yesterday. You go back, you know, 40 years ago, and once the Super Bowl was done, which, by the way, was always done in January, you know, February was just, you know, bookmakers, you know, holiday, you know, I'll see you come NCAA tournament time. Not the case anymore, and that's fine. I mean, the business has grown, and the public demand has really spearheaded that, and that's great. But the thing about the NFL, they find a way to stay relevant. There's always something to talk about in the NFL. And from our perspective, you know, here's some of the things that we deal with. And it's we get asked this a lot. You know, hey, how come there's not, you know, the prices on the future book? You know, you might see somebody at 150-1 or 200-1, right? Some of the longer shots. You know, like Texas. The Texans, I mean, and let's say even Arizona or the Bears. But the reality is this, guys. There's so much uncertainty going into the draft and free agency, and you know, and the trades that could, you know, coincide with the draft. Maybe not the draft itself, but trades involving draft picks and personnel. So if you have a team, for instance, let's say, you know, you look at the Texans at 150 or 200-1, what do they need? They need a quarterback. Now, is Bryce Young that answer? Well, I don't think he makes them an instant Super Bowl contender, but he certainly probably improves them from a perception standpoint.
Oh, and Vinny, then Right as he talks Bryce Young, Michael, you were saying you have had your doubts on Young long term, but Vinny just you blacked out over there at South Point. But that's an interesting point, right? On how, you know, that was something Mike Palm asked you yesterday. That applies to multiple teams, right? Just because you bring in one player, is that really going to impact their respective odds, a contender or a long shot like Houston?
That's where I was going to go with Vinny. Is to me, the Mike Palm question yesterday was so good that as an executive in the league, does this player move the needle on our team? Does this player make us go from 7 wins to 9 wins, 7 to 8, We know this about Aaron Rodgers. We can make fun of him being in the tunnel. We can make fun of him being in the darkness. Vinny will be the first to tell you, he moves the line unlike any player in the league. He moves the line. So whoever gets him, their line is going to move. If you settle for Carr, that line's not moving. To me, that's all you – if you're paying $200 million for Carr and the line doesn't move, do you really want to pay $200 million for Carr?
No doubt. And the reality of today's NFL, which it's like how many players, like in your mind, and obviously when we get Vinny back, we'll ask him, like how many players – actually would be, make a significant difference futures-wise, not just on a game, you know, game-by-game line, but futures-wise would make a legitimate difference as a single player to an NFL team in the year 2023. How many could you say there actually are?
Well, I mean, most of them are quarterbacks. Mahomes moves the line. You know who else moves the line? Tyreek Hill. I said that when he got traded. I mean, there's no one like him in the league. You're scared to death. You're holding on. You're, like, worried. Oh, my God, he gets the ball in his hands. It's ugly. I mean, you can't handle him. He moves the line. He moves – he makes you have to handle him. And it made a good quarterback, Tua, look great. You know, and then they have Waddle to go along with it, so they have these two receivers, you know, and then all of a sudden they became a pass-happy team. But this player becomes – he moves the needle. He's worth at least – to me, he's a half a point in the line. When he plays or doesn't play, it's a completely different game. That's a number one receiver. You got to cover him. You got to roll the coverage to him. You're scared to death of him, right? You put him on some teams. So, you know, mostly it's all quarterbacks. You know, are you scared to death of Brock Purdy? Of course not. But you're scared to death of the run after the catch that they've accumulated in San Francisco. It isn't that you're scared of Kittle. It's you're scared of all of them. And what makes them so effective is they don't have to substitute to substitute.
No doubt. And that's why, look, we had, you know, that the wide receiver discussion we've had over the last couple of days. It's like, how many number one wide receivers are there really? It's probably, what, one hand, right? And then if you want to include some of the generational tight ends like a Travis Kelce, you can maybe extend it a couple, but it's not all that that deep. So we do have Vinny Vaiulo back. Vinny, you started talking Bryce Young and the Texans, and people's minds were just blown, and it just blacked you out over there. So Mike wanted to ask you something about how the general the futures market is going to work based on some of these individual moving parts there, Michael.
Sure.
So we had Mike Palm asked yesterday a great question to me, Vinny. He said if the Jets over under win total is set at 8.5, let's say, and they signed Carr, he believes the line won't move to 9. That he's not going to move the line. We lost Vinny again.
Oh, we lost Vinny. Oh,
something's going on at South Point. South they got the rodeo in town. Are they banging things around back there?
Well, you know, it has been. We have had blizzard-like conditions. I'm not. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but blizzard in Southern California.
My son told
today,
me that. He said it was
Michael,
windy as hell. Yeah.
Yes. So maybe that could be the issue. But no, and that's the thing where you think about this whole Carr situation, and it's kind of the classic case. Like for the Jets, at what point do you feel so desperate that you look at that, what your point of the odds, you know, the odds are not going to change futures-wise, whether or not you sign Carr, yet you still feel like you have to do it because of how awful the position has given you from a production standpoint. That's the thing that they're trying to figure out, right?
Right. And so, like, if we sign Carr, we don't go up. If we sign Mike White back, what happens? You know, obviously Mike White's not going to move the needle either. You know, if we signed Cooper Rush, what would happen? He's not going to move the needle either. So we'll be better off signing Rush at X amount of dollars than Carr at all this money. See, I think this, the more I'm into this, the more you kind of watch this, is what happens to teams is you pay for good, you overpay for good, and you're not getting great. So, Vinny, you're back? Are we back, Vinny?
Phone. That's it. We went to some old – I'm on an old rotary phone now.
There we go.
There's our guy.
Modern technology.
Vinny, I was asking you, so say the Jets win totals at 8.5, juice to the over, and they sign Carr, okay? Would he move the line to 9? Would he move the line at all? If they signed Rodgers, what would the line be?
Yeah, no question, Mike. It's a good play. It would move for both of them. I mean, it would definitely move by at least a half a game, probably plus juice, with Carr. I mean, we know the opponents right now for next year pretty much, but we don't know is the exact schedule. And again, perception is reality to people, right? We know the Jets are probably the Jets are a quarterback away or consistent quarterback play away from contending. right? They've got a good defense. They're in a decent draft position. They've got a running game. They got some receivers. And even Carr is an upgrade to what they had at quarterback, with due respect to the people that are there now. But now, if it's Rodgers, obviously that's a game changer, right? Because the Jets go from 30-1 to win the Super Bowl you're going to see people jumping on that. They'll probably get to cut that in half. Now, granted, they're still in the division with the Bills and, of course, the Patriots and the Dolphins, but perception is reality, like I always say to people, and there's going to be a lot of support for the Jets in that regard. And really, you mentioned Rodgers. Rodgers is the wild card. For the third straight year, Rodgers is the reason, the main reason, for the Super Bowl odds in particular, and the conference odds, and very much the division odds, holding things up and really keeping prices lower, because wherever he goes, he's going to have an instant impact on those teams, on that particular team. Oh, and by the way, he'll have an impact on the entire NFC North, because now you've got the Packers, who are typically the favorites or co-favorites with the Vikings. They're probably the third, at least the third, maybe even the fourth pick in that division. So there's a ripple effect with Rodgers wherever he goes, and here we are, the third straight year that's impacting the future market right now.
How similar from the betting implications, Vinny? Do you remember comparing Favre and his sagas from the 06 to 08 stretches compared to Rodgers from the future standpoint? How similar is that from the perspective of holding a team hostage and showing so much indecisiveness from what you remember about 15 years ago?
Yeah, it's a good question, Ben. I think this is actually more impactful because, frankly, you know, Rodgers is still better at this point in his career than Favre was towards the end of his career, right? I mean, he did well. You know, he made a lot of support for the Jets when he went there. But I frankly think that this it's not as much. He was not as much of an impact to the quarterback position when we're making numbers as Rodgers. Rodgers is the number one impact player in terms of the point spread. So you break it down from there. So it's, you know, I would say it's at least two, maybe even 3 points compared to Favre to Rodgers right now.
And you remember, the first year of those retirement questions, Packers were 4-12. Next year were 8-8. So it wasn't like this was a perennial playoff contender, at least. But it is an interesting comp because to me, Michael, we've talked about this. As soon as the Packers lost to the Lions, week 18, Rodgers just flipped on the switch, and he has been a Favre-like diva ever since there in Green Bay. We have another segment with Vinny. Vinny, you just looked too handsome. He just knocked out the power over at South Point. We're going to ask plans for the NFL draft, timeline for when South Point will eventually put up some numbers there. How is the college basketball handle going to look now that we're approaching March Madness? And any action on the XFL? We'll ask Vinny all those burning questions as we continue hour number two right here on the Lombardi Line.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM is all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Back with Michael. I'm Ben Wilson in for Patrick Maher the rest of today, tomorrow, and Sunday. So excited for some weekend shows with you, Michael. Bright and early, at least for me, on the West Coast tomorrow and Sunday. That'll be a blast.
Oh, yeah.
For us, we have Vinny Maliulo.
I learned that when I was out there for the Super Bowl.
Did.
You know, you go out Friday night here, I get up, I come into my office, nice. I got Thomas Gable, there. You know, that's 6 o'clock wake up. I mean, you got to be in the studio early there, Ben. You got to get your night's sleep. There's no partying for you. Can't out with Derek Stevens tonight.
No. I'm hosting primetime as well tonight with Sean King, which is always – that's always a dangerous game on Fridays because we – you know, anybody who knows Sean King –
yeah, he goes over the long bar. He's always over that long bar.
you got to, like, weasel your way out before he suckers you in. Vinny Valiulo is still with us. Speaking of people who like to have a good time. We love having Vinny on. Vinny via the phone today over at the South Point, part of Chris Andrews' team as far as the oddmakers go. And so it's great to have Vinny back on his usual Friday segment. Vinny, XFL is returned in the second, I guess, third technically reincarnation of that league. And we kicked off week two last night. What have been the early takeaways from your side behind the counter from the oddsmaker perspective, what we've seen so far in the XFL?
Yeah, and good question. You know, I kind of compare it to other spring leagues, right? And typically the spring leagues, it's kind of a novelty. So the first week always does better than, let's say, the third and fourth week. We're still – last night didn't really do well. It was a game last night, so it really did not do as well as the first week's games. I think it's great that the games are on TV and they're getting the coverage they are. There's even references to the point spread and the total and things like that. But again, last night, I'm going to recall, obviously it was a big college basketball schedule. The NBA came back from the All-Star break. And of course there was a pretty good slate of NHL games. So I think tomorrow we've got a game between DC and Vegas. That game will do well. I know it's 4 o'clock Pacific time and the locals will probably, get a, take an interest in that. But, guys, honestly, spring league games, they do well early, but it starts to wane. And what happens is, the XFL is going up against, really, for sustained action, the number one bet event of the year, which is the NCAA tournament, right? You got Selection Sunday in a couple of weeks. And even though the Super Bowl is the number one single event or single game in terms of betting action, it's the NCAA tournament for 2.5 weeks that has that sustained impact in betting. So they're up against it in terms of the betting. But you know what? We'll keep watching it and keep monitoring it. We'll offer it. It's on TV, and that helps it for sure. Folks tend to they want to bet. There's always some more bet on events that are televised as opposed to not being televised.
Vinny, do you think people just didn't realize Thursday night was going to be football? I mean, kind of. I think it probably caught people off guard a little bit, right? Like, I mean, you don't know. I mean, you have spring league, but you think it's going to be on Saturday or Sunday. You know, you're kind of like, okay, I got it. But and all of a sudden now they spring one up on you on Thursday. So to me, I think it's going to be more of an awareness thing as we move forward. Vinny, what's your take? I want to shift a little bit. This Alabama situation is fascinating to me because there's a lot of underlying currents that's going on down there. A lot of people feel like they're hiding stuff that the coaches might have known before all this. Have you done anything with Alabama's odds, or are you kind of just monitoring it from afar?
Well, it's a great question, Michael. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I've got, you know, let's talk about, you know, again, polls aside, right? We don't really, you know, we don't base our pricing on polls, but what we do is power ratings. Now, they were probably about a point back, or in some of my colleagues had them even with Houston. And again, those two are at the top of the power rating, a poll right now. And from an odd standpoint, yeah, single digits. You know, Houston at 5, and let's remember too that the Final Four is in Houston this year, so I think that's playing into some people's minds. Alabama, anywhere from 5 to 7 to 1, depending on where you're shopping. But there's no question that when you look at this situation, it's got to impact the team from a psychological standpoint. And I think I think the NCAA maybe, but certainly internally, the school may be looking at it. So didn't really adjust because their power rating is still strong, but I think it could impact this team. And I think that some, you know, particularly professionals are gonna maybe go against them because they're gonna look for, they know they're gonna be a favorite, and there's gonna be, you know, some value in betting against them, and particularly when it gets to the tournament, which is, you know, again this year as wide open as we've ever seen it. Even, you know, when I mentioned the fact that Houston and Alabama and even Kansas, the way they're playing lately, are at the top of the power rating spectrum. You know what? There's 30 teams within 7 points, 6 points of each other in terms of the power rating. So that's how wide open it is. Yeah,
I just pulled up my South Point app here. Vinny, you and your shop have Alabama 7-1 right now. Houston is the short shot on the futures board. So it's just a fascinating situation to watch. I mean, born out of tragedy and such a sad situation, what happened with a shooting on campus, and now we wait for more things to drop there. As far as just your overall preparation, Vinny, how has it changed over the years with the expansion of the college conference tournaments, where now you get to March 1st pretty much, and we have postseason basketball now that goes all the way through the month, especially considering the tournament does come to Vegas for the first time this year for the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight rounds. How are the preparations going there at South Point?
Yeah, Ben, and again, let's remember that down the road we're going to have the Final Four here, which was, you know, I mean, again, like the professional leagues, the NCAA frowned on Las Vegas publicly, but privately they always knew that, you know, we were not only booking the games but policing the games, and if there was any improprieties, that we were the first ones they would contact. It's grown exponentially, and now it's not just the first 4 days in the middle of the month. You mentioned the fact that there's multiple conference tournaments here that draw a lot of visitors and a lot of action. The conference tournaments have grown in the last 5 years extremely strong compared to, let's say, even 10 years ago. I mean, everybody gets involved. And the fact that folks can come here now and participate in the conference tournaments. And, you know, we're talking about everything from, you know, the Mountain West, but you got the Pac-12 tournament. Pac-12 tournament does extremely well. West Coast, you know, particularly everybody is excited about, Gonzaga and St. Mary's. And Gonzaga has been a very public team over the last few years. So the fact that March Madness for us, while, you know, for the rest of the country, you know, it really starts in the middle of the month. With the field of 64 to field of 68, if you will. But the fact that it really begins with conference tournaments for us in terms of betting action, because a lot of folks can't get here for the main tournament. They come here for the conference tournaments, and they not only do they attend, but they attend the sports books via in person and or via the apps as well.
Vinny, what team are you getting a lot of action on? On futures in the college basketball? Is it UCLA? Is it Tennessee? Is it Gonzaga? What team do you think is going to start getting played moving forward?
Well, it's about the current form, Michael. You bring up a good point, and I think there's a lot of folks that are high on a team. When you look at like a Texas A&M, the way they're playing lately, right? We've had to really keep an eye on them. You know, playing extremely well down there, and team like Miami. Miami, we've got some exposure on. Larrañaga's team has played played very well. Kansas State, and I do have the Big 12 as the number one rated conference. Slightly ahead of the SEC. So when you look at teams like that, maybe they're not necessarily the name brands that the blue bloods, so to speak, that we're used to at this time of year. But let's face it, you know what? It's great for business. And by the way, there's some blue bloods that are on the bubble that may not go. Let's look at North Carolina and Duke. I mean, right now, if this was Selection Sunday, they would not get in, in my opinion. So. But those teams, teams like that I just mentioned, Texas A&M, Miami, and Kansas State, they had some nice juicy odds early on, and we've got a little bit of exposure on them.
Yeah, triple digit shot in Texas A&M, who's won 13 of 15 games under head coach Buzz Williams.
Yep.
It's like the Big 12 best power rated conference this year. Where does that conference rank all time as far as just overall strength top to bottom? That's the thing I wonder, Vinny. I can't remember, and obviously you have a few years on me, Vinny, but I can't remember a league better top to bottom than the Big 12 this year. That's a fascinating conference to watch.
Again, I've got the Big 12 number one. I've got the ACC, which was typically the conference, right, for a long time. I've got them number five. So it's a big flip.
Down year for the ACC, that's for sure. Vinny Magliulo, if you don't already follow him, I'm sure most of you do. You have to. At VSiN Vinny. Great of Vinny to give us some time. As always, Vinny, even though we saw you
Thanks, for a little bit
then on the phone. But great to catch up with you. We'll do this again next week. Vinny, always a pleasure.
Always good to be with you guys.
Absolutely. We have a couple more segments, Michael. Let's get into the NFC South. Very weird division entering 2023. We'll do that next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
VSiN is excited to announce the launch of three new live shows to cover the dynamic sports betting markets like no one else can. With some fresh concepts and pairings as we head into a new season of sports, VSiN will continue to deliver all the news, analysis, and insights you've come to expect from your favorite team of sports betting experts. Check out the new lineup starting on Monday. Lombardi Line not going anywhere, though. Michael will still be here. And we have Femi Abebefe, Stormy Bonantoni, who will be in the mix now. So that's great too, because and Femi.
I'm gonna get double teamed here. I got to deal with Stormy and her network, and then I got Femi, who is a constant work in progress. I mean, I got to handle, you know, his love affair with Tua. I got to keep him from going to the window betting on Tua for the MVP. Then he denies it. You know, I got to get. You know, I mean, I'm going to be busy. I don't know how the hell I'm going to do it. I have no time to walk the dogs with all this stuff going on.
Going to keep your hands full there for sure. A new episode of the GM Shuffle out as well. Look, you put up with me too, though, this football season. So, you know,
you've been great. You know. I don't think you said to Chad the other day that you've been in the fire. I don't think I've ever been in the fire with you. I've just tried to kind of context some of that analytics that kind of tends to go down the road a little bit. Look, I've said this many times. I'm all for, if you would read some of the reports that I've written about teams, they're all analytical based, but you have to be able to apply it to the situation. It's just not, let's get an 11 personnel and throw the ball. Like, that's a little bit crazy. Or let's just draft the receiver and everything's going to be okay. Like, that's not really being able to understand what the core problem is. And so you take a team that has issues, you got to fix those issues, but you can't fix them all in 1 hour. But you need stats to lead you down the road. I've said this many times. We are in the veterinarian business in terms of evaluating pro football teams, or any sport team for that matter. And so the patient doesn't talk to you. You know, the patient doesn't say, hey, I got a sore throat, or like to me today, my nose is stuffed up, right? That you got to have diagnostic tests to be able to figure out what's actually wrong with your team. And through those diagnostic tests, you need statistics, you need analytics, you need evaluation, correct that. Like, for example, Pro Football Focus has Kyle Hamilton, the number one safety in all of football, okay? Okay? He doesn't play safety, but he's the number one safety in all of football. He's never in the deep part of the field. He's a nickel linebacker. That's what he plays. And obviously, that's what they need him to play. But he's not a safety. So things have to be put in context. I'm not saying Hamilton's not a good player. Can't play man-to-man. He's a nickel-in-the-box player safety. So, like, to me, you've got to be able to take that and draw out from it.
The word that it does not get applied enough, but that's a good, as always, it's a good point to make. We could make it any day, whether the NFL season is in progress, preseason, offseason, whenever. It's always a good reminder, especially for us as bettors, to keep that in mind going forward. And I have no idea how we're going to apply that to the NFC South this year, where we'll look in a second at some of the quarterbacks that are under contract right now. I believe our producer, Elliot Bauman, defined it as a dearth of talent going on right now for the NFC South quarterbacks. And we bring this up because the news story coming out yesterday and then earlier today, you had the report from ESPN and Jeff Darlington that Buccaneers, they're prepared to roll with Kyle Trask as the opening day quarterback. He's the only quarterback on the roster right now for Tampa Bay. Bruce Arians, who's still a part of that organization, was just on the Rich Eisen show and says, I think we're in good hands with Kyle Trask. I don't know, Michael. Can you really feel that confident in Tampa Bay with Kyle Trask?
Here's what they know that we don't know, right? So they've watched practice every day. So they've seen Kyle Trask run the scout team for them. They've seen Blaine Gabbert run the scout team, right? So they've seen that. And they've seen him make throws. They've seen him do things in their practice. They've seen him adapt to their system, their schemes. And they have a better handle than we do. The Kyle Trask that we remember from Florida, I don't know if he's good enough to be the guy that could be the starter. But the Kyle Trask who's been in their system, perhaps, he could be. 6.5, CSK's big kid. He's accurate. You know, look, you're going to have to develop somebody. Like, you're just not, you know, like that magical, that Hall of Fame quarterback isn't going to land in your building unless you're the Jets and you signed Derek Carr. But to me, that's a hard thing to do. So you got to develop somebody, and he's got skill to develop. Now, how he handles it, how he adjusts, that's hard to see because a lot of guys look good in OTA days, but when the pads come on and the bumping and the grinding and the hitting and the hurting, that becomes a different game.
And the reality with where Tampa Bay's setup was at the last couple of years, Blaine Gabbert was getting – they had to prepare him and at least have a guy in case something happened to Tom Brady. And so Gabbert was the one getting the second-team reps. Trask was – I don't know how you would best describe it. It was just like going to school essentially again for a couple of years. He only got into one game. And so that's where the right. untested nature
But he had a lot of practice time, though. See, we don't see that. So they, you know, Trask ran the scout team. So he was Sam Darnold. He was, you know, he was Andy Dalton. You know, he was, you know, Marcus Mariota. He ran all their plays. And you got a chance to see him. Look, I'm telling you, you walk off the field sometimes. When you watch practice and you say, holy heck, that guy's really good. Running scout team stuff. Now, you got to be careful because sometimes guys are only good when they know where to go, right? Like we had a defensive lineman who we couldn't block on scout team because he could look at the card and the card told him go left, go right. But once the game started he and it was run or pass, he couldn't figure it out, right? So you got to be careful there. But to me, it's a worthy invest. I mean, you're going to learn, especially at the quarterback position, you're going to learn a lot about it.
Now enters your number three. You would like to think if you're a Tampa Bay fan or a better on that team that, yes, you would have taken some good positive things from Hall of Fame, greatest of all-time quarterback in Tom Brady and can apply that going forward. But as much as you say you have to develop somebody, you also have to – somebody has to win the division. I mean, it can't just be, you know, it can't just be team. And so, I mean, the Super Bowl odds right now, the shortest shot of any of the four, New Orleans, you see most markets in around 50-1. And Atlanta's the long shot at 75-1. So there's not much differentiating any of the four teams. And when the division odds come out, Michael, you're likely to see, and if it is New Orleans as a favorite, they're likely going to be, you know, plus 150. There isn't going to be any real anything really different to discern between the four teams.
You know, it's funny. So the South has the three starters in the South, counting Blaine Gabbert. Brady's gone. They're all free agents. Darnold's a free agent. Dalton's a free agent. Gabbert's a free agent. Desmond Ridder played had a hard time completing passes. Let's be honest, right? Winston's under contract for the Bucs still. Now, whether they move on from him or not, if they're going to go with Trask, they might as well move on from Winston, right? We'll see that. They liked Matt Corral. They liked him. They thought he had a chance once he got his body bigger, stronger, he could do something. I don't know if that's true. What do they do with Darnold? Darnold wasn't just horrible at the end of the year last year. I know his perception is not good, but he wasn't horrible at the end of the year. Like, if I were Arizona and, you know, I might think about signing him to an economic-friendly deal while I try to rehab these quarterbacks that I have on the team. I'd rather have him than Trace McSorley or David Blough. So I think there's some of that. But look, this is a division that doesn't have it. The NFC is a division that doesn't have. You asked me that question yesterday. Mike Palm asked that question. Another great question. Like, who's the best quarterback in the NFC? Jared Goff's in the top five. You know, Jalen Hurts. Prescott's still a good player, but they got to get Prescott to play better. I mean, where would Cooper Rush be if he were playing on San Francisco?
Think about that, and I go, wow, yeah, you're right. I mean, and you said Geno Smith yesterday would be a top, you know, like, and I don't disagree with that at all.
Geno Smith's better than Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Geno Smith played better than Kyler Murray throwing the football. Geno Smith doesn't have those oh my God plays, but Geno Smith plays better than Kyler Murray.
The Sam Darnold
throwing the football,
right? And so with Carolina, you've Darnold in a very, very small sample size. Not only was Darnold not some below average bad quarterback, his completion percentage over expectation was actually number one in the league. Now, very, very small sample size, but for the games he started, Darnold's numbers were really, really good. And this is a division where you see Carolina make the investments. They bring in, you bring in new coaching. You bring in a lot of veteran coaches as well. Is that a situation where they perceive the division as being weaker and an opportunity to build around a guy if they want to go that direction? Remember, Corral was coming off a season-ending surgery from before his rookie season even started. Would that be a legitimate option? It's something we would never have even guessed a year ago, but you can't say no to something like that just right off the bat, right?
I mean, when you look at Carolina last year in the offseason, everybody said they had to get a quarterback. Darnold wasn't any good. I was one of them, too. And so they're waiting for Watson. They lose Hassan Riddick, and they lose a chance to sign Cordell Patterson, which if they would have had Cordell Patterson on their team to go with McCaffrey, to then make McCaffrey the slot receiver, or McCaffrey the luxury item, they're a really good team now. You got Foreman, you got McCaffrey, you got Patterson, right? And then if they sign Riddick, if they would have taken the money that they were holding on to sign Watson, given it to Riddick and Patterson, where's that team?
Margins
so it's really
small.
It's like a chess match. You're only a couple moves away from really making your team a lot better if you make the right moves.
Mm-hmm. And now we also wonder, well, Frank Reich, does he get the fastball back this year as a head coach? Does the new scenery help him out? And bringing in a bunch of veteran coaches, arguably the most veteran staff, just top to bottom in the league now heading into 2023. We'll talk some more salary cap potential casualties because there's a couple guys in the NFC South. I looked down at my list at Michael Thomas. What's going to happen with him in New Orleans? How about Leonard Fournette in Tampa Bay? We'll finish the show with a discussion on a couple of those guys. When we return, final segment of the Lombardi Line gets underway right after this here on VSiN.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We're back for the final time with Michael Lombardi in New Jersey. I'm Ben Wilson from Las Vegas, our Circus Sportsbook Studios. It is VSiN Big Bets coming up next. Dave Ross and Amal Shah. Michael, you and I back tomorrow, Sunday mornings. Really excited for that.
Get yourself up early.
You know I will. I'm not a morning. You know, I'm a play-by-play guy, Michael. I'm used to calling games at night. You know, you peak at 7 p.m. So I'm even the 9 a.m. Time on air for me on the West Coast, that's a little early. So, yeah, I will have to be adjusting things tonight. But don't worry. I'll be excited to wake up tomorrow. We close the show talking some more potential cap casualties. And really, just in general, this New Orleans Saints situation, it's so wild to think about where they're at as a team with a projected cap, you know, projected cap number and space of being way, way, way in the red. Yet there are reports coming out today that they're looking to find an extension for Tino Passanio. Had a very nice season as a defensive end and just restructured Tyrann Mathieu's contract in the back end of the secondary. So a team that's actively looking to, at least from Passanio's case, sign guys, spend money, but doesn't really look like they have much money to spend when you look at it, Michael. That's what's interesting.
Well, here's the way you have to look at this, right? So whenever you're studying a team's cap, you have to immediately don't look at how much cap room is available. Look at how many players they have with large paragraph fives. Okay, so let's take paragraph five is your base salary that's paid over 18 weeks. Okay, you know, 1 week bye and then the 17 games. So Jameis Winston, he is due $12.8 million in paragraph five. Okay, he got his prorated signing bonus is $2.8 million. So if they eliminate him from the team, they pick up basically $10 million. Okay, so he's, you know, so either he restructures or he goes. Lattimore, his salary is at 14.5. That's his paragraph five. His cap number's at 22 million. Okay. If they were to guarantee 11 or 13 million of that 14 and a half, that would lower his cap number. Okay. And so that gives you cap room. And so it's really just about robbing Peter to pay Paul, using the Catholic analogy. So that's what they would do. And so that's what the Saints have done. They've been doing this for years. They have a bunch of guys who have high cap paragraph fives. They lower them. Okay, Mathieu just lowered himself to the base salary. He didn't lose a dollar. He didn't lose any money. He got all his money, but he got a better cap number for them. That's what they'll continue to do. And then when they find a player they want to sign, they'll go to Taysom Hill and say, okay, we're going to redo your deal so we can get below the cap.
Mathieu's deal that cleared about a little over four and a half million, at least for the cap for this year. And the one player you did not mention that is going to probably lead all these discussions on the Saints perspective is a guy who's since the 2020 season, Michael Thomas, has only played in 10 games over 3 years.
Right.
And what do you do with a guy who has a dead cap number of over $25 million?
So they've already done Michael Thomas. So he's already at the minimum base paragraph five. Okay, so his signing bonus that they gave him in the past still counts. He's got a roster bonus that has to get earned. So that's only $200,000. He's got another workout bonus that has to get earned. He's got a restricted workout bonus that has to get earned. So he's not going anywhere. And he's really only $13.5 million on their cap. So they've kind of figured him out. They've got him done.
Gotcha.
You know, and so he's not going anywhere. They've worked around all the issues with him. He stays on there. That's why whenever you see a player, when you go to, whether you go to salary cap, whatever salary cap site you look at, when you see a paragraph 5 of 1.165, that's the minimum salary a veteran player has to make this year. So when a team lowers him down, they can't lower you to zero. They can only lower you to 1.1. So that means they've guaranteed the rest. They're not asking the player to take less money. See, there's a misconception out there. Oh, well, you know, I restructured my contract for the team. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You're just doing that to give yourself a pat on the back. You just got your money guaranteed. That's all.
I wonder on the Thomas front, though, just long term. And, yeah, it's a great point to make in the difference between what might look like on, you know, what might pop on the front page, and then you say, okay, how is this going to affect the cap? But the reality for Thomas, I just look at it long term, and you know, there was this controversy about some deleted tweets, or he was potentially calling out the medical staff there, how he's barely seen the field for 3 years. Even if it's on paper now something that they have figured out, quote unquote, for the short term, I mean, what's the long term solution here for a guy who has been very, very hard to figure out in New Orleans?
Oh, only they know. I mean, we're so far out of it, we can't tell. But they are paying good money after bad money, essentially, right? They've already paid them, and because they're in this hole, they have to keep paying them. It's kind of a bad place to be, right?
But
right, Ben.
So.
I mean, you know, you don't want to be here, but this is where you are. I mean, you know, it cost us. If they were to cut him, it's going to cost them $26 million of cap room to get rid of him. You don't want to do that. Where it's only going to cost me $13 million to keep him, and maybe I get a player. You know, maybe I get a player. And one thing they've done, what the Saints have done, is they've kept themselves, you know, they trade away a first-round pick, but now they get the 30th pick back for Sean Payton. You know, they got the 41st pick. They got a 70, you know, they're keeping themselves alive, even though they're going all in. But I will say this about the Saints. They do a great job of keeping their offensive and defensive lines intact. I mean, this offensive line, if they hit, and I don't know if they have or not, but if they hit with the left tackle who didn't really play much this year, right, Penning, the
Trevor
kid they
Penning,
drafted in
yeah.
the first round. So they got Penning, you know, and they can move James Hurst around. They don't have to rely on him. Ramczyk is still the right tackle. Ruiz and all those, and McCoy inside, they're a good offensive line with a very good running back. With a very good running back. You know, they need another back to go with them, but they can control the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. Everything about New Orleans I loved from a personnel standpoint last year. My question will be the same question I had that plagued them throughout last season was the coaching. And Dennis Allen mangled several games from an in-game management decision-making process. How does he grow from year one to year two? That's the thing we don't know. And
I mean, look, one thing, when you stand in front of your team, right, and you tell the team we got to get better, you're also telling yourself you got to get better too. We all have to get better. Like, he's got to do a really good job of understanding where he made his mistakes. Like, what did he do wrong? You know, and how did they not handle the game situations? And he's got a lot of, you know, he changed defensive coordinators. He got rid of both guys that were coordinating the defense. He's brought Joe Wood in to work on that. I don't think we pay enough attention, okay? I don't think we pay enough attention to the shifting in the defense coordinators and how that could impact the betting line. Like, for example, Cleveland hires Jim Schwartz. That's going to make Cleveland a better defense. Cleveland hires Bubba Ventrone. That's going to make Cleveland a better special teams team. So they've improved without doing anything. They've improved their football team without doing a thing. Because Schwartz will make him a much better defense. He'll also make him much better in game situations. He understands it. Now, can he convince Kevin Stefanski to not go for it on fourth and inches from his own 24? I don't know about that.
That's another
but
question.
I think we don't pay enough attention to that. Like, we're so caught up in, is Derek Carr going to move the number? Like, that number for Cleveland by those two hires for the coordinator, that's significant.
Totally with you. And now how will the Joe Woods situation work out for New Orleans, having Joe Woods and Dennis Allen?
But Smith's going to do it. So Dennis
right,
Allen's
right.
going to do it, right? So whenever the head coach is in charge, like Staley, you know, let Ronaldo Hill go to Miami, okay? Well, Staley just wants somebody to come in and do what he tells him to do. He's running the defense. He's calling it. He's planning it. He's running it. He just needs somebody in the meeting room. When he goes to another meeting, somebody's running the room.
That's a nice thing to have when you have your relationship from a past team. They were both together in Oakland before the Raiders moved to Las Vegas. For Michael Thomas, that's the thing. He would be more than $60 million in 2024 if he were to stay on the roster. But at least for now, they have created a situation where it'll make it work. The last one I'll throw at you real quick. Leonard Fournette with Tampa. Only you have the one quarterback on the roster in Kyle Trask. What are you doing with Lenny there?
I mean, I'm going to find somebody. I got to find somebody cheaper. Look, here's what I've said about running backs. You can't pay just a runner. You got to pay a weapon. Like, draft a guy. I mean, Rhamondre Stevenson is really a good player for the Patriots to get him in the fourth round. He could be an elite running back. He catches the ball. He does a lot of great things. So if you could find him, but you got to find a weapon. You just can't have a guy back there that says, hey, I'm giving him the ball. You can't do that.
Yeah. Interesting year for Tampa and for the whole NFC South. I just know you're going to see at some point people will talk themselves into all four teams in those divisional markets when you consider they're all going to be pretty good plus money. And that's the reality of a division that appears to be wide open. Where will it go from here? It's anybody's guess, at least as for now. Michael, great to be back with you. We'll see you early.
I'm going back to watch more receivers in my office. I'm going to look at more receivers.
There we go. I can't wait for that report bright and early tomorrow morning here on the West Coast. So for Michael Lombardi, for our producer, Elliot Bauman, I'm Ben Wilson saying so long from the Lombardi Line here on VSiN.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.